Put it in. Let's go. Let's see how I answer it. I want to see how good I am.
You fucked half of the girls in Los Angeles. Olivia. My other friends, to name a few. Is Tana one of them?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah. Have you ever had sex with Tana? And welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy on every Thursday with me, your host, Violet Benson. Before we get started with my amazing guest, this episode today was brought to you by Apostrophe, Humble CBD, and Apartments.com. Make sure to check out my sponsors when you finish listening to this amazing episode, because you know, this is where I beg you to pay attention to my sponsors, because they are the reason I'm able to still produce a podcast every single week for you guys, because I love you. So make sure to check them out. I will also have all the discount codes in my description of the episode. Apostrophe is all about clearing your acne. Humble CBD is all about helping you relax and fall asleep after dealing with all this drama. And Apartments.com helps you find the apartment that's perfect for you. All right, so let's get started. Today, my special guest is Harry Jowsey. You may know him as Francesca Farrago's on and off boyfriend. He got his fame from being a bad boy heartthrob on one of Netflix's most watched shows during quarantine, Too Hot to Handle. He has over 7 million followers on all of his social media platforms. He is the top 1% on OnlyFans, and he has a charming killer smile that will melt any girl's heart, including my best friend's.
You know the love was real because they even had a lawsuit against each other. So it really worked out.
That was like so sweet until like that point. I was like, wow, she really is nice.
I am.
But I'm worried because I know you're going to be sassy and attack me.
No, actually I'm not. You'll be surprised. So Harry and I, we actually have never met until recently.
Yes.
We met recently in Mexico.
Yeah. We did meet in Tilly for the first time. I was actually nervous because Francesca's like, oh, my friends want to come down. I was like, I'm not meeting any more of your stupid fucking friends. I was like, please keep them all away from me, because like obviously the breakup was so horrible and I'm like, I don't even want to have their bad energy around. And then I met you guys and you guys were great.
Yeah, I don't even know why you would think that. I'm literally one of the nicest person I've ever met. Ask all your friends. They all thought it was really nice.
They loved you so much.
So yeah, we met in Tulum. We ended up having so much fun together. It was really nice. Harry is really charming.
Aw. Really? I thought I was so quiet to you guys because I was like nervous.
Aw. No, you're really nice.
Because I'm walking into like an army of people that don't like me.
I felt indifferent because when someone's like on and off, like I'm not gonna hate that person, because eventually first you hate the ex. I made those jokes like even on my podcast with Francesca, how like it's really awkward because you talk shit about this guy like the whole year, you know, oh I hate him, and then you have to meet him and you have to be like, hey, I heard so much about you, like it's so nice to finally meet you, such a fan, you know.
Yeah, I know Frankie was getting like worried as well because she's like, oh, your friends hate me. I was like, you're at the other side of the restaurant. No, like they're on the tables, like they're drunk. I was like, no one cares. Oh, she's like, should I go talk to them? I was like, yeah, come over. And everyone hugged her. She was just paranoid. I was like, no, none of my friends care about any of this stuff. They're just going to be there when I cry myself to sleep.
Okay.
About the situation.
Okay. So aside from Mexico, which we'll get into, if people wanted to get to know you, what's something that most people don't know about you?
I have four half sisters and a brother.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't really like any of them apart from one. She just had a baby, which is so exciting.
You don't really like your siblings?
No, not really. Like we all like grew up in like a very disjointed family.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like it wasn't like my four half sisters. My dad is like a serial husband, so he's had a couple of wives. So he had them, and then he had me and my brother, and then like we, as soon as we were like 14 or something, we went straight to boarding school.
Oh.
So my family's like all like scattered everywhere. But then obviously when the show came out, everyone wanted to be close again. It was crazy. So bizarre. I was like, the timing, this is perfect. I haven't seen you guys in forever. But yeah, I don't know. I've got quite a big family. I grew up in rural Australia. So like right on where all the cows and stuff. I was the beef capital of Australia.
Wait, so are you close with your mom?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like my reason. That's why I always say that. Like I just,
what does that mean?
Like I do everything for her.
But your dad, you guys were not that close?
No. No, not really. Yeah. We grew up, like, I love my dad, and I know he's, like, trying to be better, but we just grew up with him just being crazy, crazy alcoholic. And then just like real recently when I was actually filming the show, some really like bad stuff happened to the point where my family got like completely split up. My parents got divorced and like he disappeared and went on like this crazy like hiatus and then come back. And it was just wild. But I know, like, regardless of anything, like, that's my old man and I still love him. So
wait, your parents got divorced recently?
Yeah. Oh, like we filmed the show like 2 or 3 years ago, I think.
And that's when they got divorced?
Yeah. Like right as I was on the show. So I was like freaking out. I was like, fuck, like I want to just make sure my old lady's okay. And like check in on my mom. Cause I know she's like going through it. But yeah, it was really difficult. Cause like while we're filming the show, like I have all these emotions, like falling in love and like all this chaos and craziness going on. And then like, I wonder if I'll see this person again, but then also like freaking out and worrying about my dad being like really sick and my mom, like her mental health being okay. I was like, this is a bad place, but we got through it. We were thriving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Growing up with your parents, did they ever fight in front of you guys or?
Yeah. Yeah. My dad used to beat my mom.
Okay.
But I grew up like in that situation where, you know, like there was a lot of like serious, like heavy fights and stuff that would go on, but I don't know. It's just kind of how things were when we were brought up. So I think that's why I'm so like drawn to like taking care of my mom, because I know she really went through it to like make sure that me and my brother had a good life and that that she held the, you know, the marriage together till we were like of age to like take care of ourselves.
Do you feel like growing up with your parents and how they were, that kind of that's where you learn what love is?
No, no, you can't say that. I know you tried to say that on the phone the other day. We're like, oh, you show love. No.
No, I'm asking.
Nah, not at all.
Or did it show you everything you don't want to be like?
Yeah, it showed me like seeing that type of damage mentally and, you know, seeing how hard my family was trying like to keep their shit together and like keep the family together and tight. Just having like alcohol being the main component that just like tore everything apart and got people like violent and aggressive. Like it really showed me like the person that I don't want to be. Like when I moved to LA, like I started drinking heaps. I was like going out and I wasn't becoming myself. Like that's why I took like 141 days like sober at the start of the year until my birthday. That was the only time I've drank. And I was like, damn, like I really don't enjoy drinking. Like it really like actually like makes me feel like little bit of trauma and like worried about stuff. Like I always get anxiety and I'm always like scared that I'll end up being like my dad if I keep drinking or whatever. So that's kind of like why I don't really enjoy it.
Are you scared that you have any similar characteristics to your father? Or like, do you ever get scared that you guys have anything in common?
No, I think my dad's got many like really, really good characteristics. Like he's again, like my biggest idol when it comes to like business and his mind in that sense and how hard he hustled to get to where he is, but getting belligerently drunk and like beating the fuck out of my mom, seeing that shit like makes me be like ultra sensitive to stuff like that. Like whenever I've been in like an argument with like any past relationship, like I always make sure that I take time to like make it seem like as least threatening as possible and like calm and in a situation where I'm not raising my voice, because that's the last thing I'd ever want to do is like make someone feel like threatened or like hurt by my actions or anything like that. Especially, you know, being a woman, that shit would fucking tear me apart.
How come you're not close with your siblings if you guys went through something like that together?
So my sisters kind of grew up before me, so I'm the baby, the family. And they dealt with it with their mom and they went through it and it was kind of just like their mom and then my mom was like separate. We'd always like see each other and stuff, but they were adults by the time we were like kind of growing up and they'd always like take care of us. Like they were great people, really good people, but just different interests. But me and my brother are just not close in the slightest. Like me and him, just again, like different people. Like, but we grew up and I was like the bad kid at school. Like I was always the one that was like getting kicked out of schools or kicked out of all the schools in Australia. I had to go to school in a different country because I was that bad. And then my brother was like amazing grades, always was doing like in the musicals, like in like the football team, like doing like really good things. And then like, I guess we just kind of like switched over when we both went to university. Like I realized like my goals and who I didn't want to be. And then he just kind of like got caught up in the party life.
Got it. That's really interesting. I feel like you should talk more about your family life.
It's bizarre because like, I guess people always forget that like, I'm a human and I've got like past and like actual like real shit happens. Because I guess like being like in the influencer space as well, everyone's like, oh my God, they've got it so good. Like all this privilege and whatnot. And I've definitely had a very like blessed life, but also like dealing with serious like alcoholism, watching my parents like go at it and growing up in like that environment where it's like,
yeah,
like at one moment you're like asleep, the next moment you're getting like dragged out of your bed and like yelled at, or like seeing your dad hit your brother in the head with a log or something like that, like just the most bizarre stuff. And then your brother and your dad having like a fist fight, and then like mom hitting dad in the head with a pan or some shit like that. Like, it's crazy. But people have it way worse. I'm not like, it's not like a pity me.
I would say that's pretty traumatic. Like, that's pretty crazy.
It builds character.
I know. I feel like you're making a lot of jokes. You should probably figure that out.
This is how I deal with it.
I know. But I mean, I have a friend that he went through that with, and I interviewed him on this podcast before too. And his father was alcoholic and his dad will constantly like beat the shit out of him and, beat his mom. And he said like, by the time I'm 18, like, I'm going to leave this house and I will never speak to my father again. You know, I guess people just, it was, that's what's interesting. You were talking about your father, that you still respect him and like his business stuff. So.
Well, it got to a point where when I was at university, and we found out he had cirrhosis of the liver, so he was like dying. So like, okay, like he's taking like painkillers and he's like drinking like too much at the point where his like body's starting to collapse, his like blood pressure's gone like crazy high. And I remember being there, and one of the guys that I was working at this little like alcohol store, and one of the older guys, I call him Uncle Buff because I'd always ask him about things. I was like, man, like I was like, fuck this piece of shit human. Like, he's tearing my family apart. Like, my brother's resenting him. Like, my mom's unhappy. Like, I was getting so mad. I was like, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to beat the fuck out of him. And he's like, man, you have to understand, like, you have to take a step away and realize that that's always going to be your dad. And no matter, like, the stuff that he says to you, or like how he manipulates you, or like attacks you, or any, you have to like separate that from like the person that you knew like growing up, or like the person that showed you love, and like understand that, like, that's your old man. You only get one of them. And sometimes you just have to look past like all that bullshit, which has been difficult. But then again, like, I realized that, you know, I could sit here and resent him, and then one day he won't be here. And I'll be like, you know what? Fuck. I really wish I had like one last chat with my dad, or and just gave him a hug, or realize that, like, you know, it's maybe it's not really him going on in there. Maybe he's like got a brain damage from like the amount of alcohol or whatever's going on. But I don't know. I just look back and I'm like, fuck, like driving after like football training, like getting a meat pie and like hanging out with my dad and like building sheds and like chopping, like learning to chop down trees, like shit like that. Like, that's good memories. And that's kind of just what I focus on for that stuff. But yeah, I don't think my brother or my sisters don't really talk to him. Actually, my brother does because they're suing my mom. But my sister doesn't talk to him whatsoever.
Right. Well, everyone, I think, has different memories of growing up. Like, my sister and I have completely different memories of my dad. Like, I, quote unquote, has daddy issues. My sister doesn't. So we completely have different.
That was actually hilarious because Garrett and one of my friends, Zach, when we were in Tulum, was like, that girl's definitely got daddy issues. And I was like, oh, you know, this daddy issues girl. I was like, no. She's like, I got a feeling she got daddy issues. And I thought they were making a joke until we like got back to the villa, and they're just like, she's definitely got daddy issues. I was like, no way. Yeah.
Well, my dad and I, we didn't say I love you or hugged. Like, he never touched me in a hugging way.
you could have worded that so much better.
My dad and I never hugged. We never kissed or anything. And he didn't say I love you until I was like 24. And it was only because one day I made that decision when I created daddy issues, something in my brain. Because I remember when I was young, I used to, one time I saw one of my friends like hug her dad. She asked her dad for advice and she hugged him. And then she's like, thanks, dad. I love you. And he walked away and I was looking at her like mortified. And I was like, you're kidding. She goes, what are you talking? I'm like, do you guys do this all the time? And she's like, what do you mean? Yeah. And I was like, you just like hug him like for no reason. She's like, yeah. And she's like, do not hug your dad. I was like, I mean, like, what if I hug him and he's like, ew, what are you doing?
What? So you never hugged your dad?
Not until I was like 24. Why? Because we just didn't have that relationship. My dad had a father who was an alcoholic, was cheating on his mom all the time. And then he got beat up to death for being a Jew in Russia. My dad was 17. He had the whole family go completely broke because he was an alcoholic too. So they were like so poor, so broke in Russia. And like, my dad swore to never be like his dad. So the way he would show me love was financially, like to take care of me, to make sure I go to school, so I have food on the table.
Oh, damn.
But like, he didn't grow up with that type of like physical love, and that's the type of love that I needed. So he was showing me love differently. I need a different type of love. So we had a disconnect. But one day when I created daddy issues, I was just like, you know what? Like, I realized, like what you were saying, is that I'm not going to be resentful about the fact that I just didn't have that relationship growing up with my father. Cause I was like, A, he didn't know any better. Like, he didn't grow up with that type of love. And I was like, what if tomorrow he's gone? So I love him and I want him to know I love him. So I'm going to start hugging him and I'm going to start telling him that I love him. And I don't care if he says it back because I know he feels it. So I started saying, I love you. And like, because of that, I changed the dynamic of my family, like completely. Like, we all hug each other all the time now. We always say, I love you. And it's all because like I made that decision.
Wow. That's awesome. That's crazy. That must have been a powerful moment though. Like when you finally did that.
It was because now it feels like so easy,
yeah.
You know, to get off the phone with my dad and to say, I love you and things like that. Obviously I never bring up the past because I know my dad feels guilty but like, I understand he just had a different way of showing love. So that's why I can't compare it to your situation of having an alcoholic parent, because that part is hard, because the person when they're on alcohol or drugs, like, their number one love is the alcohol, the drugs. Yeah. So that is completely like different and I can't relate, but I think it is very sweet and nice that you do try to remember your father in such a positive light.
Well, I just also like look at it as like, it's a disease, right? So like alcoholism and like having that addiction is a disease, and they can't, like, he genuinely can't help it. Like, we sent him to rehab twice. The first time he escaped, that was like crazy. I remember one day when he came down to see me before he went in, and he was like, all mopey, like dragging his feet and like very slow and like yelling at people like on the street. And I was like, damn, what the fuck is going on with you? Like, this is not my old man. Like, you're like a zombie. What the fuck's going on in there? And then we took him to rehab, and obviously it's hell. Like, you're coming off absolutely everything. Like, you know, all the painkillers, everything he was coming off. And then he was doing so well. And then it like got to one point where one of my sisters come over and he's like, oh, can I get a Panadol, which is like a ibuprofen? And it just like triggered all the tests at the rehab. And then just like, yeah, you can't stay here anymore. Like, you went, because apparently like there was like a component in that. And then he went home and he's like, he made everyone believe like he was fine, all this stuff. And then we like would walk out in the and into the barn, like where all the hay is. And he'd just be like passed out. It'd be like 9 a.m. And he'd have like a bottle of vodka. And I was like, okay, well, he's not safe. But then we sent him back again. And he didn't even make it out of the hospital. Like, he made a friend with someone there in hospital. And he just escaped and went to the beach and got drunk for like a week.
Well, I'm really happy for your mom that she eventually finally left him.
Yeah, she deserves it. She deserves all the happiness in the world. Like, I'm trying to send her to Italy and just get her like a young Italian stud that would just blow her back out. Like, that's what I really want.
Blow her back out.
Yeah, like I want her to have like an Italian stallion that's just gonna really just fuck her shit up.
Okay, you guys are that close.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yo, man, don't forget to blow my mom's back out.
Legit, I asked all my friends, I was like, would you fuck my mom? Like, you remember Jacob? He was living at my farmhouse. I was like, bro, like, if you need to, like, just take care of business. Like, I was like, mom needs it more than you.
Oh, that is so funny.
Make her feel alive. But yeah, she's amazing. She just did a little horse show and she won a whole bunch of ribbons with her horses. So that was really cool.
That's really sweet. I feel so much closer to you after this conversation.
When are you doing it in the juicy shit? You start roasting me.
Let's start talking about dating and relationships and things like that.
My favorite topic.
So do you believe in soulmates?
Yes.
You do? Do you believe in just one or a few? There's a few?
I feel like you can definitely have a few, for sure. Like, I feel like that to pigeonhole. I just also, like, I see that, like, you can definitely have one love and a relationship and be like, this is my soulmate forever and be completely content, but then realize that maybe you're not that person's soulmate. I don't know. I feel like you can definitely have more than one. I don't know where I was going with that, but.
No, but I know what you mean. I agree. I believe that like your soulmates can also be like your family members and your friends. And I actually came up with that one time when I was friends with these three kids and their mother passed away from cancer. And to make them feel better, I told them that, you know, I believe that your family members and your friends and loved ones can be your soulmates. So it means like you're going to see your mom again the next lifetime because it's one of your soulmates. So she's not, you know, because it's just to make them feel better. And then I start to believe that too. So I believe that like, even if it like you're dating somebody and let's say you just feel like some attachment to that person, you're like, you know, when I was getting over my last relationship, I was like, maybe in the next lifetime, we're going to be together. It's meant to work on the next lifetime, just not in this one.
To Frankie on my little goodbye note when we first broke up, I wrote her a letter.
Yeah.
I was like, if it's not in this lifetime, I know it'll be in the next for sure.
That's really sweet. You are really charming. Do not do that to me. I am Team Francesca.
I even have like a saved in my phone of the note that I sent her. It was like handwritten and it took me 3 times to send it
and
to
she
her.
Like burned it.
Yeah. She probably did. Yeah. Has like my hair, like did like a full ritual. Like take the devil back.
Do you believe Francesca is one of your soulmates?
Yeah. I genuinely think that like when I met her, everything kind of made sense. The reason why I say like I feel like she is because like the whole past year, and I was explaining this to her and she said the same, but I'm not sure if it was true. Maybe she's just trying to be like, okay, Harry, shut up. But whenever something big or bad would happen with us for a week, I would feel it in my stomach. And then the day that something bad was about to happen, or the day that I knew that something was going to happen with her, I would just I would feel so sick. And I'm like, damn, how am I so connected to this human? And I'm not even talking to her. Like for a whole week, I was one of my episodes with Shan Booty. Oh, it was like super early on. I was telling her, I was like, damn, like, I don't know what's going on. Like I can feel something's going on with Francesca. And the day I dropped that episode, some shit went down. I don't know. Some like legit drama went down with her and one of her old friends. I don't want to get into it, but that shit got down. And then I was like a little bit involved and I was like, okay, well now I know like that I'm connected to this person. And then
Wait. You felt so connected to her. And then you went on this, you defended the friend who was talking shit about Francesca.
Okay. Well, I was also angry at her.
So yeah, that's really sweet. You felt a gut in your stomach that something bad was going to happen for Francesca. And then something bad did happen. And because she's your soulmate, you felt it. You still went on defending the other person that was going off against her. But you're like, but babe, it doesn't matter. Cause privately, I was thinking about you privately.
That wasn't from the recent shit, but it's like, what I was getting at.
You were still mad.
Yeah. Well, I was still very pissed. Like the situation was very like sticky, but what I was getting at is like when there's stuff that happens with her, like when there's like a big milestone or like the day, when it was a year anniversary of the show, like I felt it for like a week and then I'm like, damn, maybe something's going. And then for that whole week, it was like I'd wake up and the first thought would be like, is Francesca okay? Like what's going on with Francesca? And that was in my head. And I was like, okay, well, maybe like I'm just way too in tune with this human and maybe she is my soulmate. I don't know. But that was kind of my justification on it.
What would you say some of your fears are that you have when it comes to relationships or during dating?
Being cheated on, lack of communication, and someone that is not willing to change.
Those are your fears?
Yeah.
But what would you do if you were dating somebody that had some of those things?
I'd try and help like in a constructive way to move in a better direction.
Yeah, like some of my fears are I like hate getting too close to people, so I tend to like not start drama, but like I'll end it, like I'll self sabotage or like I'll end it with somebody right away before like they'll end it with me.
Really? That's so sad.
That is really sad.
I used to do that, but then I'm like, ugh, come on.
I hate that. It's a bad habit. And sometimes I think I'm not doing it.
Did someone
it,
like then, really fuck your shit up? Is that what happened?
One time I got in an argument with my sister and I did the same thing. Don't, you know what? I'm done. Don't speak to me. My sister's like, V, you have to communicate because I won't communicate. I just like don't want to talk about it. And then I just need space. And she's like, who hurt you?
What happened? Did someone seriously? Because that's what I was thinking when we went to Loom. I was like, someone is like come in and like fucked her like sister or something and like broke her heart. Like, is that what happened?
With me?
Yeah.
Okay. What is happening with you and your friends that you all think?
We're trying to figure you out.
I thought it was so nice to you and your friends.
No, you were great.
Let's talk about Mexico. Is there anything that you regret from that trip except thinking that I have daddy issues and that I am been through something or whatever? Is there something you regret from that trip?
I regret not spending more time with Francesca and going in a different way. Why are you looking all weird?
Because it's sweet.
Sorry, should I be mean? Should I be like,
no, I
wish
that.
Not fucking 100 bitches and going crazy.
Okay, you regret that. Is there anything that you regret that happened after Mexico?
Yes, I do regret. There's a lot of things I regret after Mexico.
Like what?
There's just some TikToks and some things that happened that I didn't register in my head that would hurt someone. And so, yeah, I regret those.
Speaking of nightmares, acne can be one nightmare that is so hard to get rid of. Trust me, I know all about that. When I hit puberty, I had acne on my face, on my chest, on my back. But acne doesn't only happen to teenagers or puberty. It also happens to adults. But now you can lay your acne fears to rest with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-based oral and topical medication that are clinically proven to help clear acne. They connect you with a board-certified dermatologist who will create a personalized treatment plan just for you. All you have to do is fill out their online quiz, send them some selfies, and then they'll start working on your custom treatment. We actually have a special deal for our audience, and you can save $15 off of your first visit with a board-certified dermatologist at apostrophe.com/Violet when you use our code Violet. This code is only available to our listeners. To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/Violet and click begin visit. Then use our code Violet at sign up and you'll get $15 off of your first dermatology visit. That's apostrophe.com/Violet. And use that code Violet to get your dermatology visit and save $15. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring the podcast today. Get rid of your acne because you deserve to feel confident.
Put it in. Let's go. Let's see how I answer it. I want to see how good I am.
You fucked half of the girls in Los Angeles. Olivia. My other friends, to name a few. Is Tana one of them?
Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah. Have you ever had sex with Tana?
I've never done anything with Tana.
Why do you guys insinuate like you have? Is it for clout and like views?
Okay. The craziest thing is what we've realized is that like people like love to speculate. I think that's why it's so funny is like every time you'll see if you post with another dude, you post with another chick, like people are like, oh my God, they're fucking like doing this and that. Me and Tana have like such a similar like chaotic and crazy like personality that like we'll just like film videos together and people just can't like put a label on it. So they don't understand it and they just speculate. So I think it's just more so it's just like a funny thing because like I enjoy like hanging out with her because she's like got my back and she's like a good human.
I don't know her. I don't know her, so I can't judge. I'm not judging. I literally don't know her.
She's crazy online, but in person, like, she's all business, and she's a very smart person. So when we just started filming TikToks, like, it just started running up numbers. So it was just like, okay, well, I'm your friend, and I enjoy hanging out with you. And by the way, the whole time that I've been, like, her best friend or, like, close to her, she's been sleeping with, like, guys with, like, face tattoos and stuff. Like, our types are completely different.
Yeah. Okay.
Plus, she tells me when she goes to take a shit, like, that's like the friendship level we're on. Like when you're like, hey, I'm just going to go do a poo. And I'm like, okay, enjoy. You don't like that with any of your friends? You're not comfortable enough with them.
I wasn't raised like that. We're just a little different. Question. Why did you let Francesca down again? Or do you think she's overreacting?
I feel like that was just such a shit like comment to say that I let her down. Like we spoke on the phone about this whole situation and I've done what I can. Like I feel like I definitely didn't let her down. I feel like...
Do you think she's overreacting?
No, I'm not going to say that because I know she'll get angry. I personally think that she was upset. I realized that. I acknowledged it. I took a step back. I apologized. I reversed everything I did. What I've come to realize is that we haven't spoken or we haven't really been close in a year. So the situation is like super sensitive and I should have been a little bit more aware and a little bit more cautious of like what I'm posting or who I'm like hanging out with or what's going on because I know... I should have known that, like, damn, that's, like, she's going to be, like, upset about it.
Okay, for those who don't understand what he's talking about, because you are being very vague, what is Francesca upset about?
I posted a TikTok with Tana at dinner, and she was upset about it.
And then Tana posted some TikTok trashing her.
Well, okay.
Do you understand how it can be a little hard to handle when I'm supposed to be the person you love, but then you allow your friends to attack me publicly? Like, it's embarrassing.
Here's the thing. The situation, I've been doing my best to address it privately and as respectfully as possible because end of the day, I'm friends with Tana and me and Francesca at this current moment are friends. Like that's what we're trying to figure out. I love her to bits and what she's asked me to do, I've done. I've done everything I can. Then obviously I told Tana to delete what was going on, called her, and from my understanding, it was going to be taken down is what I got told. And then obviously it went a different direction. And I explained to Francesca, I was like, look, we're different people. Yeah. And like, I can't go out here like barking orders and like trying to do things. I understand that it's like Tana's coming at her publicly. And I'm just trying to do my best to make sure that like everyone's happy. And it's like a terrible situation because like I'm the messenger and I'm just getting shot. Like I'm getting shot at.
When we were talking, you and I were talking, you were like, when we got on the phone, because then I tried to be the mediator between you two, and that's not really my thing. And you were like, I had so much fun in Mexico, I was ready to get a ring for her, blah, blah. If that is actually your person, like your person, then as an adult, as a person that really looks at that person like, oh, that's going to be my soulmate, or I'm going to be with this person potentially for the rest of my life. Like, that means you have to put them first. And yeah, even if you love your friends, if your friends really had your best interest, they wouldn't try to get in between your relationship. If I was your friend, like, why would I try to sabotage your relationship? So to me, it seems a little odd. Again, I don't know Tana, and I have nothing bad to say about her because, again, not my fight at all. But as somebody looking from the outside, it does feel a little odd. Yeah. Because at what point do you say, you know what, I'm not going to go for the clout stuff because I actually do love this person. I want to make them happy. And if you see the person that you love is in pain from it, like is embarrassed, is in pain, is continuously asking you, just don't embarrass me publicly. And then you still allow someone like that. How can you continue to being friends with that person? Are you in need of rest and relaxation after a long day at the office? I know I need some rest and relaxation after dealing with all this Harry and Francesca drama for the last couple of weeks. Are you sick and tired of soreness and inflammation? I know I'm sick and tired of all this drama with Harry and Francesca. Anyway, I want to talk to you about Humble CBD. Humble CBD offers a wide variety of hemp-derived CBD products for any occasion. Twist, roll, and relax with their CBD calming balm, or travel with their CBD twist. Right now, you can get 25% off of your first order with my promo code Violet. All you have to do is go to humblecbd.com and choose any product that meets your needs. I personally started to use Humble CBD like a couple of months ago because it was helping me fall asleep. And then I also started reusing it again a couple of weeks ago when I started dealing with all of this Harry and Francesca drama. I know I needed something to calm down. Humble CBD is focused on helping you stay grounded no matter what life brings you, even if you have friends like Francesca and Harry. So focus, relax, and recover with Humble CBD. So again, you can get 25% off of your first order with my promo code Violet. All you have to do is go to humblecbd.com and choose any product that meets your needs. Stay grounded with Humble CBD. Enjoy.
I think that it's silly and naive to say that, okay, I'm doing nothing about it. And just because I'm not posting an Instagram story saying, Tana, you're a bad person, take it down. I don't think that that is a constructive way to go about it. The whole time that me and Francesca broke up, everything was public. We were attacking each other public. She would drop a comment here. I'd react and drop a comment there. She'd react to me dropping a comment. And it would just like build and build and build to a point where it was like completely toxic and disgusting. And that's why everyone's like, oh my God, our favorite toxic couple's back. Like, and that's what we're known at, because we didn't know how to deal with this situation. And every time we deal with it, it would be in the public light. What I found is when other people's opinions and when other people get involved and put their time and energy into something, it gets foggy, it gets wrong, and it gets ugly, right? I only care about what Francesca thinks and how she feels. I don't want to post on my story, get my fan pages involved, or like go and like be like, okay, you need to go attack this person now, because it's not about that. This is a real life situation where I really fucking care about this person, and I really want her to understand that, like, okay, I'm not doing it for my Instagram, I'm not doing it for TikTok, I'm not doing it for views or anything like that. Like, I realize I made a mistake by posting that TikTok with Francesca. I mean, with Tana. I understood that. I was like, okay, I reversed it right away. Yeah. The reason why the breakup was so bad before is because it was all public and disgusting, and that's what I'm trying to not do at the moment. I really love and care for her, and when our relationship was the happiest is when it was private. And that's what I realized this whole last year. All I've had is time to reflect on how to be better, and how to be a better boyfriend, how to be a better guy, and how to be a better man for her. That's all I've done like this past year, is like, okay, how can I move in situations where it's gonna be beneficial and make her life better? Like, that's my, when I'm with someone, that's my entire goal, like that's my purpose. So when this stuff started to happen, I'm like, okay, well, the biggest mistake I made last time was getting involved and in a public light and making this ugly. I don't want to do that. And if there's a way that I can resolve it offline and privately with my friends or people that I call my friends, then that's what I want to do. So that's the way I've been going about it. And I personally don't think that it's that big of a deal that I need to be like, call out Tana or call out Francesca and say, these are your wrongdoings. Because no one's perfect. Like, I'm still just trying to figure it out. I'm just want to make her life happy and like make it good. But I just personally don't think that me getting in the middle of it when I'm already fighting a fire like offline is gonna benefit it. Like if I, okay, like I put up my story and like maybe do a post about it or do a YouTube video, or do a podcast about it. I'm kind of doing it now, but I just feel like it's just going to get like people's like public opinion and it doesn't go anywhere.
But you said I made the mistake of making things public and it should have been private next time. Then why did you do the whole thing? Like when you and Francesca started talking again, like why did you make it so public instead of trying to do it privately first to figure out like how you guys feel about each other?
When I was talking to her, when I went to Cancun to see her, I didn't post a single story. No one knew that I was going to be there. My friends didn't know until the morning of. I was like, yo, I'm going to Cancun to see Frankie because I didn't want anyone to know. I wanted to be completely top secret. I was on the plane. I had a hoodie on. I had a mask on. I didn't want anyone to know that I was going. So by the time I got to Cancun, it was like, okay, I'm back with my best friend. We were staying in a hotel like away from her friends and we were just trying to figure out our shit. The reason why it got public was because there was a fucking paparazzi outside the restaurant they were waiting at. They were hiding in a bush and I didn't know where we were going. And we pulled up to this restaurant. We were waiting outside, waiting in line because we're normal people. And this paparazzi like got us. Yeah. And then that Monday, TMZ like, you know, it got released and stuff like that. Well, I don't know if it was Monday, but it was later on in the week. And already that next week, I was going back to Mexico for my birthday when I was going to meet you guys. So I asked Francesca, I was like, well, it's kind of public now that we're like hanging out and like I, you know, joked about it in my podcast, like coming back. We're already taking photos and stuff for like memory's sake. And end of the day, like I would rather the world know that like I'm trying my absolute best for this person again than like try and like have people think that my DMs are open or that people think that they can come like try and like talk to me and stuff. When I was with when I'm with Francesca, like I'm so about this person, like this is everything. And that's why when it comes like to Tulum and my birthday and I posted a photo, I was like, because like I really just, no one really matters, like no one else really matters. So like any girls that have been in my DMs or thought about it just won't go in now because they think like, okay, he's like completely off the market. So it was like half the reason why I did it, because I'm like, I also want Francesca to be like, okay, Harry's serious, like he's posting me. Yeah. And he doesn't give a fuck about other girls or like Instagram models or whoever.
Yeah, this is so, I feel like even confusing to me because I talked to both of you and it's like, it is confusing because it seems like you guys both really love each other, but you seem to have two different arguments. And I think that is the biggest problem. She's arguing for what she needs from you and then you're arguing for what you need from her. And I feel like that's where there's a weird miscommunication because it's like, you both love each other. So then it's like, then what's the problem? But then it seems like...
The issue is... with Frankie is whenever I need to hear like what I need to, like what I've done wrong, like with this recent situation, she would be stubborn and she just won't talk to me. And that drives me insane because I'm like, see me as like a dog. When they do something bad, you go, bad dog, don't do that. Like that's what I need to hear. I need to be like,
she's not a communicator.
She's terrible at communicating.
Wait, this is what was funny. And I even told Francesca and I couldn't stop laughing about it. I was thinking about it. When you and I were on the phone talking about it, Harry was like, sometimes it's like, I don't know what Francesca's thinking. And then Francesca will look at me and she'll be like, I just feel like you can read my mind. I just feel like you know exactly what I'm thinking. And Harry was like, but babe, I can't. Like, please. Babe, please communicate. Like, I don't know what you're thinking. Please. And it just cracks me up because girls are always like, I just feel like you know what I'm thinking. And the guys are like, no, I can't.
It's so bad. Like, every time we're together, she's like, I really feel like you could just read my mind. And we're like the same person. I was like, I'm not. Like, I legitimately don't know what's going on. You have to tell me. Like, you have to be so transparent. She's like, no, it's fine. Like, we got this far. I'm like, no, like, we can't keep going if you didn't tell me. Like, that's been our biggest, like, struggle as well. And also, like, to the people listening, if you're, like, seeing someone and things are starting to go the right way, just find out what the fuck their love languages are. First step. Like, find out what their love language is and then move from there. Like, that's the biggest thing that we've struggled with. Even in Tulum, Francesca's like, I just feel like you don't care. And I'm like, excuse me. I'm telling you I love you. I'm holding you. I'm touching you. I'm kissing you. I was like, well, words of affirmation and physical touch aren't your love languages. That's not how you feel love. So tell me how you feel love. And she's like, I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, come on. Like, she's like, you'll figure it out. I'm like, she also says, she's like, if you
care about me, then you know what you have to do.
That's what she'd say to me. She's like, legit. She's just like, well, I saw this TikTok one time where it said, if you have to change someone, then they're not the person for you. I was like, no, that's not the case. I was like, everyone changes. But the thing is, you just need to change together.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you know what you need to do?
Me?
Yeah.
Not post TikToks with people she doesn't like.
No, I don't think that's what it is. So no.
I haven't found her love language yet. She hasn't told me.
Honestly, be honest. Not that anyone would ever tell you to end a friendship, but if you had a relationship with someone else that was supposedly one of the reasons that was holding back your relationship with Francesca, would you let that person go?
Yeah, I'd have to. But also, I feel like if you're in a relationship where it gets to a point where you have to cut off all your friends or cut off people, then it's unhealthy. Like, you have to have a support net where you can vent to or you can talk to and get your thoughts and feelings out so you feel better and you don't bottle up and explode. Like, I understand that, like, yes, there's definitely some relationships that deserve to be ended.
I mean, I'm not saying Francesca's innocent. She has her flaws as well. So it seems like you guys sometimes just hurt each other, not even on purpose.
Well, I just think that, like, and this is what I said to her.
Do you think you're drawn to chaos?
No, it finds me.
Who needs a change of scenery right now? How about everyone in this world right now? So it's good that Apartments.com has the most listings anywhere. Most people know that Apartments.com is the most popular place to find a place. Apartments.com has helped more people get into their new homes than any other website. And we're not just talking about apartments, but houses, townhomes, condos, and all manner of domiciles, from the oh so cozy to the, did I just hear an echo in here? And with their 3D virtual tours, you can search for your special somewhere from anywhere, including from your house. So stretch those fingers across the keyboard and change your scenery on Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place. I know Apartments.com has made my search always constantly super easy when I'm looking for new places, whether it was before COVID or even recently when I was helping my producer find a new place. We use Apartments.com because of their virtual tours. We never even had to leave our house and we got to find all of our non-negotiables from the comfort of our own home online with an internet connection. So why not try it out yourself? And to get into your next place, visit Apartments.com today. Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place. Enjoy.
This is what I said to her on the phone. I was like, you have to understand that in a relationship, two people matter. The people that are in the relationship, not the people outside of it. If it's outside of your control, you shouldn't worry about it because that's where you're going to get depressed and it's going to ruin your happiness and you're just going to be so confused and like upset and worried. If it's inside of your control, if it's in the relationship, if it's one of the two people in it, then like, okay, you need to look at that problem as a team and work past it like a little speed bump instead of like letting that speed bump get in between you and like letting it separate. That stuff, I was annoyed because it was, you know, like the situation with her friend posting. That's annoying, but also like, I'm like, whatever, I don't care because at the end of the day, like I only care about what happens with her and if she, how she treats me.
Do you think there's like a pattern, the type of people that you date?
No, I like to say I'm attracted to energy. Like I'm really attracted to someone's like energy and the vibe that they bring. Yeah, maybe a little bit chaotic. Like I feel like a little bit of toxic's fun as well. Keeps you on your toes.
Do you think you're addicted to highs and lows?
These are good questions. Did you think about this?
Yeah, I write them myself. This is what a real podcaster is like.
Damn, I just go off the top of my head.
That's crazy.
Yeah, get ready for tomorrow. It's going to be so bad. I think highs and lows are definitely necessary because you need one to know the other. Because if you don't have highs, you don't know if you have lows. And if you don't have lows, you don't know if you have highs. So
that's actually one of the definitions of a toxic relationship. Did you know that? Having highs and lows?
Damn. crazy. You would have thought.
That's so crazy. What is your definition of love?
I don't really know how to define it. I just personally, from my personal experience, is when that person's happiness becomes like your sole purpose. Or like that's a bit crazy. When you just can't see waking up without that person, I feel like that's
sweet. Yeah.
At that point is when you're like, damn, like this is love.
Do you think your definition of love has changed over the years?
Nah, not at all. I guess once I met Francesca, I actually had a meaning for it. And I was like, oh damn, like this is actually what shit's like. Like this is actually how you should feel with someone. So I think that like, I've kind of just like let that be the standard or like the, our love is.
Do you believe that you deserve love? Do you believe that you deserve to be loved?
No.
Why not?
Nah, I do for sure. I feel like everyone deserves to feel love like and be loved like that. There's no better like feeling like that shit is, I don't know, like everything. Like once you have that feeling and like, you know, love and passion for someone. And
do you feel like you're always chasing love versus just having it?
Where are you going with this? This is going to be another question. I'm going to get roasted.
No.
I think I was chasing it for the longest time. Like after me and Frankie broke up and I realized that like that was what I needed, like having that person and not being a complete man whore. I was like, you know what? I need to have that person. So I started like getting like really aggressive. I was like, yo, like I need to like fall in love. Like I need to get back to there. And I was like doing everything I could. And like any person that would show me like interest, I'd be like, cool, like this is it. I can imagine like being with her for a while. And I was like super toxic and unhealthy. So I realized that like once you go like searching and hunting for stuff or like hunting for love, like it's not going to come for you. So the best thing that I did was like fall in love with myself. Wow, that was deep. Good. That was so deep.
Yeah, it was really deep. Good job.
I'm proud of myself.
So good. So you finally realized to fall in love with yourself.
Yeah.
Was that this year or I mean last year, 2020?
Yeah, it was last year when I was going through it.
That's good. Yeah, that was actually going to be one of my questions because I was wondering if you're constantly seeking love in other people and base your worth on that.
No. I think it took me some time to really be comfortable in my own skin and be like, damn, like I'm really in this bitch. Like I have to love being alone. I have to love like spending time by myself. I have to love like working out and trying to improve myself and like doing this stuff for me and spoiling myself. Like it took me a while because I was so focused on like how can I make other people's lives better or like, you know, give them love. And I guess I'd never really found myself like that attractive or like confident or anything like that. Now like once I started loving myself, like my confidence come up and everything's been amazing.
Can you give some people advice on how they can, people that are struggling with finding themselves or struggling with loving themselves, on how you were able to finally get there?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is, I was just looking at my daily habits. I'm like, what am I doing to improve myself? Like, what am I doing to like improve my mind? Like, what am I doing to make myself a better person? And how do I do that for me? Like, I was so focused on like, when I was in a relationship, like I'm trying to be the best version of me for you. That's what I always say to like Frankie. I'm trying to be the best me for you. And then I realized like after that, like once we broke up, like I didn't really have much of a drive to do anything. Or like when we were together, I was like, damn, like I need to start this business. I need to do this. And I was like so hungry and ambitious. And then when it was all over, I was like kind of like sad and hollow and like sitting down and like feeling sorry for myself. Cause I was like, damn, like this person was like everything that I wanted and I was trying to build a life for that person. So it was best for them. But I guess, yeah, once I really just took a step back and like realized that like, fuck, like one day you just won't be here. Like imagine that, like one day, like the lights are going to be off and you will not be in this flesh vehicle. You'll be in a different dimension or whatever's going on. You will not be like walking around, living, breathing, like hugging your friends and family. Like, for me, that was enough. I was like, damn, like I need to be in a body and I need to be a person that like, I'm going to look in the mirror and be like, fuck, that dude's sick. Like I'm going to like go into a room and like make sure that like I leave the room like being high vibration and energy that like when people leave the room, they're like, damn, that's a really good dude. So I started like getting in my own head. Like I flew to, have you been to Sedona? It's like an energy vortex and it really like, took me, it was bizarre, like you don't know what's going on until you leave, like type of situation, like you're there, like it was when all the bad shit was going down last year and I just had to get away. Like I was like, okay, well I'm not running away from my problems, but in this city it was such a bubble. And you know, I'd walk out and someone would say something about Francesco or someone would leave a nasty comment and I was just like in my own head. And the best thing that I did was I turned my phone off, I went outside, I went and sat in nature and I went to a different city or a different place and I really just sat down. I was like, what do I want to be? Who do I want to be? Like what type of man and impact do I want to leave and what's my legacy? Like how do I do that? And then once I got in my own head about like my goals and pursuing it, I just started training. Like the hardest part is like when you want to get fit or when you want to get and be a better person, the hardest part is just starting. Like if you really, really want to like improve your body and your mind, like you just do it like day at a time. Like, okay, cool. Maybe today I'll read a book read one page in a book. And then maybe I'm just going to go to the gym, but I'm not going to work out. I'm just going to sit on the treadmill. At least you started. Yeah. Then you're 1% better than you were yesterday. And you go again. Like you don't need to go like hard out, but it just takes like those baby steps. I think it's like 21. You have to do something 21 times before it's like a
oh, really?
Repetition or like an addiction or something. I don't know. That's the right word.
But actually, research shows that if you do the same thing over and over again, at least the first 7 days, then it can also already start to become a habit.
Yeah, that's what making it a habit. Yeah.
You got to create good habits. So that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like I was also being mindful of like what I was putting in my body. Like I was just really focusing on like what I can do like day in, day out to just be the best version of myself. Like for me, I just have to sit in the sun. I have to be by the beach and I have to feel the energy and like just breathe. And just yeah. And then just put my energy into that. But the biggest thing was just putting my phone away and getting off the internet.
That's nice. That was a really good comment. I like it. Well, it seems like you've really been trying to work on yourself. So hopefully like...
I'm still a piece of shit.
No, I don't think so at all. If you can give advice to your younger self about love, what would you tell him?
Damn. For love would be to just don't be so hung up and just go with the flow. Like just understand that things come and go, and if it's meant to be, it will come back. If it's like that's my biggest thing is, I remember when we broke up the first time, and I was sitting there just like tossing and turning, like not sleeping, like running around, like in my mind, like I need to like fly to America, I need to go find her, I need to just show up and just be there and give her energy. But I was like, I think once I flipped over my head, I'm like, look, like everyone is connected, like everyone, there's like we're all little vibrations, and there's so much stuff going on. If it's meant to be, it will come back. So I think the thing is like, if you love them, let them go.
If you love them, let them go. If they come back, it's because they couldn't find anyone better. So still let them go.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the word for word saying. Who said that?
Shakespeare.
Yeah, oh, my guy.
If you can give your younger Harry advice on how to loving yourself, what would you tell him?
Just realize like, yo, like you're fucking in this bitch. Like you are you like forever. Like what the fuck? Like don't sit around and be sad and be like, damn, I hate me. If you hate anything about yourself, it's just snap of the fingers. You can change it. It's just a change of mindset. It's all it was. Like I remember being skinny fat when I was on the show. Like I was the smallest, I was skinny and scrawny. I was like, damn, like, oh, I'm not built like this guy. He's got like bigger arms and shoulders. I'm like, damn, fuck me, man. Like I'm exactly where I need to be. If I want to get like that, I just need to keep moving forward. So just realize that like, you only have one shot. Like you're going to wake up tomorrow. You're only going to get that day once. It's not going to come back again. So you may as well just live it with love and peace in your heart. And you're going to have a better time.
I agree. I think it's so important to just change your mindset. Obviously it takes time, but it starts with small little habits, just like you was talking about, like, and I've talked about it on the podcast before, like small good habits. So like, let's say if every morning you wake up and you look at social media and it makes you angry, then that's like that small little habit that you can change where you wake up and that first hour you meditate, or like you hang out with your cat, or you masturbate. It's really good for you. So things like that. And like after a couple of days, like 7 days specifically, your brain starts reprogramming. Then you suddenly start eating better, or like then the next step. And I agree. I feel like that is one thing I don't do, eat healthy. And I feel like what you put in your body is very important. Like when you eat junk food, it's like you feel heavier and you feel more down and greasy and gross versus if you ate healthy the whole
day. It's your energy source, right?
Completely. I wish I was better with that. I'm really bad with that.
But also like one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was, if you're ever feeling sad and you wake up and feel sad, put your music on as loud as you can and just dance for 20 seconds. You have no idea like how powerful it is just to move your body. Like I swear.
Wait, that's so true. I dance in the morning.
Yeah, I swear to God, you'll feel so much better.
It just feels so nice and so fun to just be silly and you dance silly. And actually my favorite thing to do for myself, I don't know how to explain, but when I'm kind to other people and when I give advice to someone else or when I sit and listen to someone else, it helps me re-fall in love with myself. So as much as people always say like, Ovi, you're such a good person that you care, blah, blah. I'm like, actually, I feel like it's kind of selfish of me sometimes too, because when I give someone advice and I feel like they feel better, I re-fall in love with myself because I get to watch myself from the outside and be a kind person. It reminds me that I have a good heart. And I'm like, aw.
Damn, I'm going to call you anytime I'm upset now.
100% you should. I love doing it. It makes me feel good.
You can be me and Francesca's little counselor. You can be like...
What?
You can be our little counselor.
Then I'll kill myself. That's a little much. That was like a lot. Wait, is Francesca your longest relationship?
Yeah, I don't even know how long we've been together, but it's been like on and off like, 3 years?
Where do you see this going between you and Francesca?
I just think that with me and her, there's a lot of things that I need as a man and as someone that's, you know, been through some like pretty hectic relationships, now I understand what I need in a partner and a best friend. And I think that she also needs a lot. Like, she has to be able to tell me exactly what she needs, and it has to be, she has to be open to, for change as well. Like, yeah. I think that's the biggest thing is we both have to, like, I remember she was texting me and she was like, she's like, I'm just afraid to open up and be hurt again. And I was like, you think my intention, and you think like, this is what I'm doing? Like, I'm trying to get close to you to just be like, hey, guess what? Woo, it's over. Ah, how do you feel? Like,
yeah,
that's how I was like, look, like I also was hurt. And I think like we both was, it was equally as bad. Like, not one of us was like, neither of us was like the good person. And like, we both did some shitty, horrible things to each other. And I think like, I've seen a lot of like positive change in her. And I'd like to say that she's seen the same in me, because I guess that's why it's been like so passionate this time around.
She did say sex with you was really good.
Oh, bless. Thank you. Thank you so
like,
much.
She's like, it was so like, I don't know, maybe it's because he's my ex, but it was like, or maybe because I haven't had sex in a long time with a man, but like, it was like, wow.
Oh, thanks. I hope you keep that in.
That's crazy that you say all that, because then it's hard for me to understand. It's like, you guys have it so good, and then the first time you guys hung out, then you suddenly went on your podcast and you talked about like fucking girls or whatever, and she was like, what? And then like again, you guys hang out again, and then suddenly you do a random TikTok with Tana, and you're just like, oh, after you hang out with your ex, and suddenly whatever it was, it didn't make sense. It's kind of like, fuck, like why? All Francesca really wants from you is to not embarrass her publicly, because it's embarrassing, and I understand where she's coming from. I think if you're able to do that, then I think she'll be able to do whatever you need from her, like communicate more. Because again, I agree with you. It's not just you. It's her as well.
Okay, first off, we haven't spoken in a year, right? I haven't spoken to this person in a year. And then suddenly we're back on, and like, I need to just halt exactly how I talk on my podcast and halt hanging out with people and like cancel friends. Like, that's unhealthy. Like, that's toxic. Like,
did you explain that to her?
No, I'm scared of her. I did explain a little bit to her, but I'm like, it's not healthy and it's not productive to just be like, okay, cool, you're back, so I'm going to stop everything, because like, I don't know, is she my girlfriend? Is she not? Like, I was trying to figure out in Mexico, I was like, yo, like, I just can't see you as anything but like my person, like my human. Like, I don't know how to go about this. I said to her, I was like, just, we have to be patient with each other. Like, we have to start as friends and like try and build those foundation blocks, because we missed that. We missed that the first time around. We missed that the second time around. We just dived in the deep end and we're like, damn, I love this person. It's super sensitive and like toxic. But like, the point that I was getting at is like, it's been a year since we've spoken. A lot has changed. I've changed. She's changed. I personally didn't realize how like the stuff that I say and do, and like, because it's for the past year, like, I've only had to like care about me and like what's going on, but not about like how it makes her feel or whatever. Yeah. So now like that she's back, all I asked for her was like, just please explain it to me, so then I can either justify it or I can be like, okay, cool, I'm not gonna do that again, and I promise I won't.
Okay, would you say right now, are you currently in love with anyone?
Of course I am.
You are?
Yeah, I love her to bits.
You're in love?
Yes, I've always loved her.
In love with her?
What's the difference?
It's completely different. I love my cat. I'm not in love with my cat. I don't want to have sex with my cat.
Ah, I see.
I don't want to marry my cat. It's not legal, so I can't. Sure. Like, I love people, but like, I'm not in love with them.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's still early days. Like,
no take seats. You said you're in love. Sorry.
Okay, whatever. I'll sit with it. I'll sit with it.
Do you see you guys ever talking again?
I hope so. Like, I think
there is hope, honestly.
Yeah, I hope so, but I just think that...
Do you hope she listens to this episode, to this podcast? Nah,
no way. I doubt she will. No, I'm joking.
She's my friend. I hope she will. I mean, I will also just tell her all of it. Obviously, I wouldn't do this podcast unless she said it was okay, so...
I thought this was going to be a bloodbath.
That's not, like, my thing on my podcast.
I legit thought I was walking in. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to bite a bullet.
I feel like you got to explain yourself. And first of all, I feel like I got to know you better. I feel like my audience and your audience is going to get to know you better. I feel like things have to do with your family kind of explain a lot.
Hey.
No, in a way, like, I understand it better.
You're a woman beater, Harry.
No, actually quite the opposite. It seems like you're drawn to people that you want to help.
Yeah.
Based on your family upbringing.
Yeah.
So it's probably also explains why you stick around longer in something that may be toxic because you don't know any better. It's kind of your upbringing again.
Damn, you should be a therapist.
I read a lot about all those books. So like that's where it comes from. I like love understanding it. I actually want to get a PhD in psychology.
Really? How long does that take?
Years.
Oh, well then let's go.
So I'm trying to get married first and then quit my job and then just do that. But anyway, where can people find you?
On the internet.
Okay. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for your daddy issues. My name's Harry Jazzy. You can find me everywhere, Harry Jazzy.
On everything.
Yeah, but I hope you guys don't hate me. I'm just don't want them to find me to give me hate.
You came off so likable on this podcast, I promise you. I don't have people on my podcast to make them look bad. Okay.
Anything else, Greg?
Harry also has a really fun podcast.
Oh, bless.
You guys should definitely check out his podcast. It's called
Tap In, but you'll be on it.
Yeah, I'm coming on it. Either it's going to come out. It came out this week. Definitely check out my episode.
And I'm
going to
roast it, I promise.
Okay, I can't wait. Fuck off. I'm going to just start crying on your podcast.
That would be great.
Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast. Check out this episode they just had about Francesca. It correlates with my episode that I had last week with Francesca. Sorry, his episode's not with Francesca. It was about Mexico. So you get to hear the boy side, the girl side. And I'm coming on his podcast. So definitely check out that episode. Don't forget to follow Harry and be nice to him. I feel like I really got to know him. I'm definitely a fan of Harry now. And let's pray for an untoxic relationship between Francesca and Harry. Hope they get back together. I hope they go to therapy.
Yeah, I actually did. I was like, should we do couples therapy? Is what I said to her first. Yeah, I was like, we need it. Like, we need to sit down and someone needs to tell us what we're doing is wrong.
Not going to be me.
Anyway, thank you guys so much.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening for another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy on every Thursday. I'll see you guys next week. Love you, baddies. Bye.